Do not lay up treasures on earth where moths and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Matthew 6, 19 through 21. Hi, I'm Rob West. Put another way, that means right now counts forever. And that certainly includes our financial decisions. Are you banking in a way that honors God? Aaron Cade joins us today to talk about it. And it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, Aaron Cade joins us again today. Aaron's the Chief Marketing Officer at Christian Community Credit Union, an underwriter of this program. And Aaron, it's great to have you back.
Thank you. It's great to be back, Rob.
Aaron, I think most Christians have head knowledge of stewardship, using God's resources for kingdom work, but they sometimes miss opportunities to incorporate that into daily living. Would you agree with that?
I would. And in fact, we recently did some research on this very topic. We surveyed over 250 Christians on stewardship, and we found that respondents had a good conceptual knowledge of stewardship, but they really didn't feel like they knew how to apply it to their daily lives. So some things we learned included, you know, over 80% believe that applying the principles of stewardship to their life would have a very positive impact. Over half of them wanted to learn more about the basics of stewardship. A third of them would like to learn how they can use their financial blessings in a God-honoring way. I mean, essentially, they wanted to learn more about the practical ways that they can manage God's financial gifts in a way that honors Him.
Well, I'm delighted to hear that. And of course, this is something that Christian Community Credit Union does on a daily basis, helping to further God's kingdom. I'd love for you to tell us about House of Refuge Sunny Slope, because it's a great story.
Yeah, you know, they're a ministry in Phoenix that has been providing transitional housing for over 35 years. And what I love is they intervene at that moment to catch people who are tumbling toward homelessness. And they help them get back on their feet. And they see their mission not only as providing an earthly shelter, but also sharing the promise of their eternal home with God. That Christ brings restoration and new life. So they surround the residents with love. They provide them housing and nourishment. And they try to equip them to live the life God intended for them.
I love that. That's powerful. So how exactly did Christian Community Credit Union help this ministry there in the Phoenix area?
So they had a great opportunity to acquire housing and land adjacent to their existing property. And this is something they had dreamt of for years. They had a chance to double the size of their single moms program. So it was a prayer answered, but they had to move quickly or they'd lose it. They had to close the deal within a time frame other financial institutions told them was not possible. Then they turned to Christian Community Credit Union. We were able to move quickly. We were able to help solve problems rapidly. And we were able to provide the affordable financing they needed on the time frame they needed to acquire those properties and greatly expand the number of families they're able to serve. And House of Refuge's CEO, Julie Supley, even remarked, CCCU was so flexible, so responsible, and they prayed for us.
Wow, that's powerful. Now, when someone joins CCCU, how do they participate in this kingdom work, Aaron? Essentially, what we said, storing up treasures in heaven.
Well, CCCU is unapologetically Christian. So when you join our family, you're joining a financial institution that's guided by Scripture. The resources you entrust with us are invested into ministries that spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children. So the deposits you entrust with the credit union help provide affordable financing to build new churches and help ministries grow. And our products not only benefit our members, but they also give back to God's kingdom. They work in those two ways. So for example, the Cash Rewards Visa card. Members earn 1.5% cash back for themselves, and we give a portion of every swipe to Christian charities.
It's incredible. And that's going, Aaron, to thousands of Christian ministries across the country?
Exactly. And to date, we've given over $6 million to Christian ministries, to missions operating both domestically and abroad.
That's incredible. Well, that's how we come full circle, because, folks, that's how you can align your values with, in this case, your banking partner at Christian Community Credit Union. Aaron, we're out of time, but thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Rob. It was great to be with you.
Folks, if you want to learn more, just head to joinchristiancommunity.com. That's joinchristiancommunity.com. We're going to take a quick break. Back with your questions just after this. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Stick around.
Hi, this is Steve Tiber with 8 Days of Hope. Do you know over the last 19 years, 8 Days of Hope has helped over 9,000 families rebuild their homes for free in the aftermath of a natural disaster? About 55,000 volunteers have traveled coast to coast with 8 Days of Hope. And today, we're excited to announce 8 Days of Hope 20, our 20th rebuilding trip from March 9th to March 16th in Amory, Mississippi. Last year in March, an EF3 tornado came through the town and wreaked havoc. Thousands of families had damage done to their homes, and there was loss of life. And now you and I get a chance to be the body of Christ, the hands and feet of Jesus, and you can join us. It's free. We provide food and lodging, and all the information's on our website at 8daysofhope.com. Please join us during the outreach on March 14th. We, our messengers, Ben Fuller and Jonathan Traylor, are going to put on a free concert for the volunteers and the families. Again, all the information's on our website. Go to 8daysofhope.com. That's 8daysofhope.com.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
You could have a spiritual power outage, but don't worry about it, because you're connected, if you're a Christian, to the greatest power source in the universe. His power provides everything we need to overcome the trials of life.
Join Dr. David Jeremiah for his message, The Promise, on the next Turning Point Weekend Edition.
Listen to Turning Point, Sunday mornings at 7 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
Many in the Middle East are going through horrific circumstances and are seeking refuge in Lebanon. Heart for Lebanon is bringing them hope, and now you can help.
We endured shelling and hunger. We witnessed death everywhere.
$116 brings emergency supplies and the hope that only comes through the gospel.
I want to spend the rest of my life telling people about Jesus and his salvation.
Give now at faithfi.com/Lebanon or call 888-201-5577.
I'm so glad to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. You know, here at AFR, it's all about applying a biblical worldview to your every aspect of your life, and that includes your money. So for this hour today, we'd love to gather with you, help you process, think through your financial questions in light of biblical wisdom, and make a decision that you can feel good about, that lines up with your values and your priorities, that allows you to hold money loosely and give it generously and enjoy it and use it to provide. And, you know, all of those things that I'm describing may be entirely different from your money journey to this point. You may be under a lot of pressure. Maybe you're discouraged and frustrated. You don't know how you're going to pay the bills. I get it. And yet, our goal is faithfulness. God is our provider. And so we take one step at a time to try to align ourselves with what Scripture would have us to do. Starting with the idea that God owns it all, that's the beginning point. And our role as stewards, which means this is a pretty important responsibility. We are going to give an account someday for how we've managed God's money. And then applying some basic principles, trusting in God as our provider, living on less than we've earned, avoiding the use of debt, setting some long-term goals, having some margin or cushion in our financial life, and giving generously, because giving breaks the grip
of money over our lives. It allows us to say, God, I trust you as my provider, and so I don't have to hold on with a clenched fist to everything that passes through my hands. I can give back, not because you need it, but because you want something more for me. You want me to be able to participate in the eternal blessing that comes from being a part of your activity. And I trust you that you're going to continue to provide. You know, when we bring that mindset and approach and skill set to the table in managing God's money, it doesn't mean it's going to be perfect. It doesn't mean it will be free from difficulty, but it does mean we're at least following God's plan, and that puts us in a position to experience God's best. Now, around all of that are all of the questions and issues you're facing today as you try to get out of debt and you try to balance the budget and you try to manage your 401k and your investment portfolio, and as you try to plan for how you're going to fund the next season in retirement. I get it. And that's why we want to help you answer those questions here on this program. So if you have a question today on any financial topic, we'd love to hear it. The number to call today is 800-525-7000. We've got lines open for the time being, so you can call right now. 800-525-7000. Let's head to our first caller today. We're going to begin in Alabama. Joshua, go right ahead.
Good morning.
Hi there.
Good morning. I've got a situation to where I purchased acreage, and the primary reason I purchased it was to leave it to my children and my grandchildren.
All right.
And so I don't know if you need the value of it, but it's about $1 million piece of property.
Okay.
And what are my options to leave it to where it's not going to cause stress between my children? Because obviously with four children, each of them have a different each of them value it differently. I guess that's the best way to put it.
Yeah. Yeah. What is your hope in buying this, Joshua, that it would be an asset that they could then liquidate and split, that they would keep it in the family and build on it? What are you thinking?
Idea would be a place for them to come and gather, you know, Thanksgivings, Christmas, summers, you know, just for them to all come together and gather, and the grandkids to come over and gather and enjoy time together. And then obviously if one of them or all of them wanted to build on the property, that would be fine. Mm-hmm. I don't have a problem with that, but I wanted to leave it to where they'd have a place to come and gather. And mm-hmm. two of my children live children live on the premises now. They haven't built a house, their own house there, but they live there. Another one lives close by, and then two of them, one lives down in Florida, one lives up north, and so two of them live away.
Yeah. And there's a homestead on
it? I don't know that they would ever be back to build on it or not. I don't know that.
Okay. But there is a homestead on it now, correct?
Yes, it's not a deeded homestead, but there is a homestead on it now.
Okay. And then what dwellings exist on it? What improvements are there?
It's got a barn apartment, you know, bedroom, living room, full bath, and it's like a miniature barn dominium. It's got a 11,000 square foot shop with 5,500 of interior space. It's insulated. It's not heated and cool, but it's insulated with a kitchen and a big open area with basketball go and things to play, kids to play and all there. And then it's got another little cabin that has one bedroom and a bath, little cabin that's there. And and the cabins are primarily used like if somebody, a friend's coming through town or something and they need a place to, stay, you know, I let people come and stay.
Sure. So with the current improvements on the property, it's not currently a place that everybody can come and gather for more than, you know, during the daylight hours, correct?
Well, it actually is because, two of my kids live in town, so they have a place to stay. And the two that come out of town, there's two places to stay on the premises.
Okay. All right.
So
very good.
As it is without the grandchildren being grown, it is a place where they can all come because the two that are in town can stay in their house and come out when they need to. And the two coming in town, there's two places to stay.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think the next step is for you, and you probably have already done some of this, but maybe there's an additional conversation that needs to be had, is pull each of your kids together and just say, hey, let me share with you my heart. Here's the purpose why I bought this. Here's how I'd love to see it used in the future. And probably you'd want to put it in a trust. And then, you know, they would become the trustees. Now, what you need to decide is, number one, am I okay if they decided to sell it? You're gone, and let's say a couple of them wanted to liquidate the property. Are you okay with that? You know, what is the plan for maintaining it? You know, and are there going to be funds to keep it up, you know, to date, you know, at a minimum paying the taxes and the insurance, but, you know, just maintaining the properties and all of that? What if they're not all on the same page? And so I think there needs to be a conversation about what your intentions are, get them to weigh in on that, and then you structure it both legally. That's where the trust comes in, the revocable trust that the home is now, or the property is now retitled, deeded in the name of the trust. And then, you know, talk about the financial implications of that, both in terms of this is now an asset that's been left equally to multiple children that over time may have different ideas about how it's used, including one or more of them deciding they think it's the best idea to sell it. And number two, who's going to be responsible for maintaining it, and where are those funds going to come from? And what if they aren't available? What if one person can't cover their fourth of the property taxes, or, you know, three of the four, you know, decide they want to build a big, you know, cabin that where everybody can come together, and one isn't on board with that, or doesn't have the money to do it. So there's just a lot of implications, especially once you're gone, with regard to how they find common ground, how they manage this. And there's financial implications to that as well. Does that make sense?
Yeah, if you left it in a trust and they want, and say, let's say two of them wanted to sell it, but two of them didn't, who would make the decision?
Well, that's the challenge. I mean, so at some point there's going to be a trustee on this, and they would, you know, the question is whether you want to try to control that decision-making process or you want to leave that up to them. And I think that's the difficult part here. And so I think that's where a conversation needs to be had, because when you get multiple families involved, I realize they're all your children, but they have their own families now, it just creates real challenges. And so a lot of that depends on how you structure the trust. Let's talk a bit more off the air. We'll be right back.
Progressive elites in Hollywood, big tech, mainstream media, and higher academia are lying to our next generation. They want to convince our young people that America's biblical foundation is offensive, outdated, and must be overthrown. Your gift today will unleash AFA action to share the timeless truth of why protecting the biblical family is essential to the survival of the American Republic. You'll also get the free DVD and booklet set, Progressive Threat to the American Republic. Visit AFAaction.net.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
This weekend on The Stand Radio, we'll talk with best-selling author and researcher George Barna about how to overcome the current secular worldview of children and disciple them to become spiritual champions.
You know, if you want to say, gee, I want the culture to get better, I want to leave a good legacy, I want to have an impact, this is how you do it, by paying attention to the worldview of children.
The Stand Radio, Saturdays at 4 and Sundays at 8 p.m. Central on AFR.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing and the Faith and Finance Program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Here's Rob West of Faith and Finance, heard here daily on American Family Radio.
we understand how important it is for Christians to leave a legacy that will impact generations to come. One way you can do that is through a charitable gift annuity from the AFA Foundation. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345. Or visit them online at afafoundation.net.
My grocery bill went up 11% this year. Gas, utilities, rent, all went up. But my paycheck, the same. I also pay for my own healthcare, a huge expense. A friend recommended Christian Healthcare Ministries as an option to insurance, and CHM helps pay for medical needs while allowing some breathing room in my budget. Open enrollment is here, so make the switch today with potential cost savings up to 40%. Christian Healthcare Ministries at chministries.org/faithfi.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today on anything financial, 800-525-7000. You can call right now with lines open. Coming up a little later in the broadcast in our final segment, Jerry Boyer stops by. We always look forward to Jerry's visit with us each Friday as he updates us on the market and the economy. That's coming up a little later in our broadcast today. Before the break, we were talking to Joshua in Alabama. Joshua's still on the line. He's purchased a piece of land, a little over $1 million. He wants to leave it to his kids. There are a few improvements there that allow for not only the whole family to gather, but, you know, for at least a couple of families to stay on the property. He's wondering the best way to structure that so that it's there for them for potentially generations, but he also doesn't want it to become a source of conflict. And I think this is where, Joshua, as I was saying, you know, a lot of communication ahead of time with your, children is going to be really important to make sure everybody's on the same page. Make sure you, you know, define the off-ramp, I think, in advance, because I think to your point, and I would certainly agree with this, the last thing we want is for your desire to do something that would be a blessing for generations to become something that creates conflict between them when you're gone, because, you know, a couple of them want to keep it forever and pass it on to their kids, and a couple say, listen, I could really use the money, and we don't ever get up there, and so we want to sell it. And, you know, if they're co-trustees and they disagree on how to use something that's in the trust, the only way to remedy that, if they can't do that themselves or through some mediation or, you know, one buying out the other, is, you know, in the legal process. And that's the last thing you'd want. So, you know, I think, yes, it can be placed in a trust. Yes, you know, you all can decide in advance who's going to, you know, how they're going to split the financial cost once you're gone of keeping this property up. But we do need to decide and define, I think, the exit strategy in advance, so to the best of our ability, this doesn't ever become a source of conflict, and it remains a blessing, which is what you intended it to be, right?
Right. So, yeah. In terms of exit strategy, you would mean of what they would do with it if they didn't all agree,
or
do you mean just exit strategy and me being gone?
No. Exit strategy in terms of you're gone, and how do they handle the property if there's a disagreement and one person wants to get out of their share of it? Do they price it at the market value and they agree that everybody else would buy the other person out? And, you know, then three of, and I'm saying four, I don't know how many kids you have, but let's say there's four, three of the four would buy the 1/4 out. I mean, those kinds of things can be decided in advance so that everybody knows, hey, the plan is to keep it. But if any of us decide we want to, you know, be out of this and we don't all agree, we've already decided in advance how we're going to approach taking that person out so they retain their portion of the inheritance.
Right. I got you.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think it's conversations with the kids, and then your attorney to kind of put it all in motion.
It sounds like our next function needs to be sitting down and really getting serious about talking about down the road what's going to happen. So
I think that's right. Yeah, absolutely. It'll be a blessing. The more you can do ahead of time, the more you can really try to, you know, put this in a place where it will be a blessing for generations to come. But, you know, we've decided, you know, in advance how one person gets out. You know, that's always the challenge, whether it's a business partnership or, you know, siblings, you know, with an estate, inheritance. It always comes down to a disagreement, and it's about the exit. How does one person kind of exit the situation? And if we know what that's going to look like in advance and everybody's agreed to that, then there's no question about it. And we don't have a lot of those hard feelings. It's never perfect, but it at least attempts to avoid a lot of that on the front end. Hey, Joshua, it was a great question. Thanks for your call. Stay on the line. I'm going to send you a copy of that book, Splitting Heirs, from Ron Blue, that I think is the best book out there, not on the mechanics of wills and trusts, but on the decisions that lead to the financial instruments. So, you know, how do we handle leaving an inheritance when one kid has a greater need than another? And so, you know, if we love our children equally, we'll treat them uniquely is one of the principles in this book, which is hard for us to swallow, but it allows you to wrestle through wealth transfer in terms of the why before the how. So stay on the line. We'll get that out to you. Let's go to Oklahoma. Sheila, thanks for your call. Go ahead.
Thank you for taking my phone call. Sure. I have two questions. One is, I want to buy stocks that are high dividend, and I didn't know if you know of a place to go. And the second one is probably more important to me, and that's Israel. I would like to buy some stocks in Israel, but I've looked at NASDAQ, and I have no clue where they are or how to do that. And the other thing is, it's not a good time to buy right now with them being in a war.
Yes, ma'am. Well, I appreciate those questions. And, you know, a lot of folks, when it comes down to buying a stock, like in the case of Israel, we've got to decide, are we doing it because we're trying, you know, we think it's the best thing for our portfolio based on our risk and our goals and objectives, or are we doing it to support Israel? And that's our primary driver, or both, and which one is more important. And we've got to wrestle through that. We don't give specific stock recommendations on this program, but what I would say is I like the idea of you buying dividend paying stocks. I think they certainly have a place in your portfolio, especially in that season of life where we're getting close to or in retirement. For the stock allocation that, you know, let's say we're 70, you know, and we still have 30% in stocks, or at 60, we have 40% in stocks. I like income producing stocks. They're a little more stable, less volatile. And then obviously the income is nice on top of the appreciation. So in terms of Israel, I would say one approach is to use a mutual fund. So for example, and I'm not recommending this, but for example, the Israel Common Values Fund from the Timothy Plan would be a great option, because they're investing in companies in Israel, which is your goal, and you've got a manager who's out there picking the companies that they believe are the ones that are going to create the most value for shareholders. It's called the Israel Common Values Fund at Timothy Plan. That would be an example of an option there. In terms of dividend-paying stocks, I'd either connect with our friends at soundmindinvesting.org or find a certified Kingdom advisor on our website at faithfi.com. We'll be right back. Thanks for your call.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
Is your success in life being stolen? Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Unbelief is involved in every single sin. Why did Eve eat the forbidden fruit? Because she believed the devil's lie rather than God's truth. Hey, if you don't believe God, you'll never be a success.
Learn what real success can be like. Join Pastor Jeff Shreve on From His Heart each weeknight at 6 Central here on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program.
Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Absolutely free. We know you've learned to be suspicious of those words, but really, you can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox each week absolutely free. Articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. Nearly 60,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free FaithFi account by going to faithfi.com and click sign up to begin receiving weekly wisdom in your inbox.
Is God calling you to ministry? It's time to multiply your capacity for ministry with an affordable degree. The Bachelor of Arts in Christian Ministry at Wesley Biblical Seminary is the degree for you. When God called you to ministry, He called you to preparation. This degree is the education that you need to put all the pieces together for an amazing life of ministry. You will graduate with a confidence for ministry that is backed up by your competence in the scriptures, theology, and ministry. Come learn with a trusted seminary that will help you become a faithful leader. Learn more at wbs.edu.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
I'm so glad you're with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. It looks like we've got one or two lines open. Pat Montague taking your calls today. You can get through at 800-525-7000. Back to the phones we go to Indiana. Hi, Dave. I understand you're a financial planner and have a comment. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Hey, I really love your program. I've been a financial planner for 40 years and in a small Midwestern town. And I think that you would agree with me that America saves through their retirement plans, whether it's a 401k, a 457, a 403b. And what we've done for all of our plans is that we've incorporated Christian-based mutual funds, meaning whether it's Timothy, Evergreen for the Catholics, Ave Maria. And I just think if your listeners would go to their human resource managers and almost demand a Christian-based fund or fund family that will allow them to follow their values with the money that they're earning at work, that you would see an explosion of these funds being used by people. Most 401ks or 403bs or 457s that we've taken over do not have that option. And we always encourage, there's what's called an investment committee. We always encourage the investment committee to add that so that people of faith can then use their hard-earned money and their matching money to invest it accordingly.
Yeah. Dave, that's well said. I completely concur with everything you said. Number one is, you're right, the majority of Americans who are saving and investing on a systematic basis are doing that through their company-sponsored plan. They're, as you well know and alluded to, they're limited to the investments inside the plan, and most 401ks today just don't have the faith-based options. Now, the good news is this whole space, what I call faith-based investing, and you named some great fund families, there's many more, is exploding. I mean, there's 55 new investment products that are explicitly faith-based in their approach just in the last 3 years, which is great. And the 401ks and 403bs are going to be some of the last to bring these in. But the way we change that is just what you said, by the participants demanding that these funds be added as a part of the mix. And I think it's a great reminder and encouragement to our listeners to be vocal about that with their plan administrators, calling HR, asking how they can ask for these funds. And in the meantime, a second option, and this isn't available to everybody as well, is what's called the brokerage window, where some plans will let you invest outside of the menu of choices in your 401k, which would then allow you to potentially tap into some of these faith-based investing fund options as well. But Dave, it's a great point. Appreciate you raising it. Anything else before we let you go?
Well, I just wanted to say that yours is a great ministry. We try to advise people along their value system. And, you know, one thing that's kind of fun is that you talk about living within your means. A farmer to me said, you know, he didn't understand that, what that meant, but he said, I just tell people, don't eat everything you harvest. And it kind of makes people understand that you're just not supposed to spend more than you have. So God bless you. God bless your program. Thank you for taking my call. And I hope you have a blessed day, sir.
Thank you, Dave. That means a lot, and I like that. Don't eat all that you harvest. That does make it pretty easy to understand. All right, let's go to Ohio. Hey, Randall, thanks for your call, sir. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. I'm calling. I got a Visa debit card in the mail the other day. It had my address on it, but it had a name that I didn't recognize. It's a foreign name. I checked on Facebook to see if he is active on Facebook, and it shows up that he's in Nigeria.
Oh, boy.
And I'm wondering, what's your advice on what to do with this card?
Yeah, I mean, it could be a mix-up, but let's not assume that it is, especially given the originating point on what you've uncovered here. So what I would do is this. Number one is I'd freeze your credit at the three credit reporting bureaus and order your credit reports at annualcreditreport.com is where you get your reports. You're going to want to look for any accounts that you don't recognize. annualcreditreport.com, get all three bureau reports. And then you'd have to go to each of the bureaus directly to place the freeze, which is going to prevent anyone from opening an account fraudulently in your name, because when they try to open the account and pull your credit, which every lender will do, they won't be able to without the PIN number. Then you're going to want to get customer service on the phone using the number on the back of the card. Keep trying until you get somebody, and you're going to want to let them know that this, you know, came with somebody else's name, but it had your address on it, so that they can, you know, remedy the situation, probably by closing the account. And then, you know, you'll probably want to contact your bank, tell them about the situation so they can make sure the card isn't attached to any of your accounts. But I think I would be pretty intentional about taking these steps here just to make sure someone hasn't attempted to open an account, you know, using your information.
Okay. All right. It's a net spend name on the card. And I did try to contact the company, and all I got was an automated service. I'd done all the options that they gave me when I called, but it still was automated all the way through. I never could get to a person.
Okay, yeah, that's a prepaid debit card, which is a little different. You may want to use their website and just see if they have. I mean, I know they have a phone number, but they also have. You know, you can use email to contact them, and that you may find that, you know, they're more responsive by email if they're not answering the phone number. Now, they say they have customer service that mans the phone, you know, Monday through Friday during business hours. I'm just looking at NetSpend right now. But I think the bottom line is let's just keep going until you get somebody who can, you know, close this account or at least let you know where it originated. And I think you'll be glad you did. All right.
All right. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks for your call today. Let's go to New York. Hi, Maria. How can I help?
Maria, this is Maria. Thank you. I am your greatest fan, remember?
Thank you for calling.
Well, I would like to add to your advice to the gentleman who wants a legacy.
Okay.
To give a legacy. And I think the first thing... my poor parents, this is what they did, versus my uncle, who was very prosper, prosperous and he took all the legal stuff, okay? Yes. So this is two families. One was poor, the other one was very smart and very rich.
Okay.
And what my parents did was they prayed a lot. They prayed. They always pray, by the way. They pray. They work and pray. And then they gave us the best education without debt. We did not have any debt. There was no paperwork. All my mother did. So I'm the eldest. All my mother did, because she lived last to my father, was to put it under my account. And then I said to her, Mom, I think you should spend your money on yourself. Or when my dad was alive, I said, you should spend all of it because we might fight over it. And then my mother said, no, I have faith in my kids that they will not fight. So then I was skeptic about it, but it turned out that that was true.
I love that. You know what? I don't want to cut you short here, Maria. I've got to hit a break, but I want to hear the rest of what you have to say about this, because this is such an important issue, and you are one of my favorite listeners out there. I love when you call. So stay on the line. We'll pick it up on the other side. Jerry Boyer coming up right around the corner as well. We'll be right back.
Fostering and adoption is not a Band-Aid for infertility.
Nope,
like,
it
is a calling, and God can change the desire of your heart and make that so rewarding. It's the most beautiful, selfless thing. It's pure religion, but it's not a fix to I desire biological child. God has to deal with that in your heart separately.
Hannah's Heart, encouraging couples through infertility and miscarriage. Saturdays, 4 a.m. Central on AFR or on the AFR app.
While we rejoice that Roe was overturned, the pro-choicers are very energized. They are winning the arguments and elections. We need to win them back. The people who bring you Wretched Radio have produced a powerful, persuasive, and proactive 13-lesson video series to help.
You don't need a PhD to tell you that human life is more valuable than the life of the ants.
Order Life is Best at shop.wretched.org. And listen to Wretched Radio Saturday nights at 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Are you searching for a way to become a better, faithful steward of the resources that God has given you? Well, download the FaithFi app and join the 37,000 others who are already using our app. The FaithFi app will provide you with wisdom, community, and simply help you stay on track with your finances. We have three money management options to choose from, so find an option that fits your unique needs. It's available on desktop or mobile. Simply go to faithfi.com and click app to get started.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
Hey, great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio, where we apply God's wisdom to your financial decisions and choices. Coming up in just a moment, Jerry Boyer will be with us to give us an update on the markets and the economy. Before we do that, though, Maria is calling one of my favorite listeners from New York. She calls with such wisdom, and I appreciate, Maria, how you always give testimony to your parents' faithfulness and heart for the Lord and what they really impressed upon you with regard to generosity and their prayer life. You were sharing some, just before the break, some things that you took away with regard to how they approached wealth transfer. And this relates to a caller we had earlier in the broadcast where he's wanting to leave a parcel of land to his children, wants it to be a blessing, doesn't want it ever to come between them. Well, summarize what you were saying, and what's the principle that you learned from your mom and dad about this issue?
Well, I am not saying that you should not follow the American way of transferring wealth, because at that time we were in the third world. So remember, by the time my parents came here, we were already living our own lives. But I was wondering about my mom's faith and trust in that we will not fight, because in my entire life at that time, I was probably 60 years old already, and I have yet to find someone who executed their will faithfully. So I told her, Mom, no. No, she said, no, that will not happen to you guys. And so it happened that way. And I was so shaken by it because I guess my faith was still questioning these things. And sometimes your intellect gets in the way of your faith.
Yes.
But what I understood is this, right? What I understood, the trust came not because they believed in God and because they did what was right by their children as parents. We were equally the same in terms of financial level.
Yes.
We had all education, and then we were the same. So we had no reason to fight.
Yes. And so they just trusted God for that.
Yes. And I think that, and it doesn't matter where you are in your legacy giving, I think that if you seek God with all your heart and with everything you've got and you want to do good, you will find ways outside of the box while you are doing the things that you are supposed to do, and you will be happy with that. And your descendants, whoever those who will inherit, will also be very blessed. And then their grandchildren too, everything like God said to Abraham, you know, all of your descendants will be blessed with this. And I see that, you
yes.
know, I'm almost 70 now, Rob, and I see it. And what I do half the day, I'm praying. I'm praying for everybody, the entire world, everybody. Prayer is so powerful.
Yes,
and also
is.
The other thing you mentioned earlier was biblical investing, and you know that already. So that's all
good.
I had to say. And it is a very humble, it's a very humble thing I just wanted to share, okay?
Well, I'm delighted you did, Maria. As I've said before, call anytime. I always appreciate your wisdom and hearing stories about your mom and dad and the legacy that they passed on to you of generosity and of faith above all else. God bless you, Maria, and we'll talk to you again hopefully real soon. Thanks for your call today. All right, it's Friday, which means Jerry Boyer's here. I don't know, Jerry, Maria was preaching. Maybe I should have just let her go, huh?
Absolutely. I'm going to shut up. I'm going to hang up. You get her back on the line. Let her finish. That was so much better than anything I'm going to say.
Hey, Jerry, you've got, what do you all have? You and Susan have 8 children?
Seven.
Seven.
And 3 grandchildren.
And
yep.
7 and 3. Okay. And what advice would you have just about passing a legacy of faith? I mean, your kids, I know at least 5 of them work in the family business, and you've really been intentional, you and Susan, about transferring just this heart of trust and faith in the Lord and generosity as well.
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny. Just a couple of days ago, I was talking to Ron Blue, right? Your mentor and founder there at Kingdom Advisors. And he said, don't pass on the wealth if you haven't passed on the wisdom.
Yeah,
and what we've tried to do is pass them on together. In our case, that was homeschooling and having a family business.
Yeah.
And the family business is focused on cultural change in accordance with Christ's teachings. So, you know, we're trying to change the way markets work to bring them in captivity to Christ. We're trying to be a witness in corporate boardrooms. So the calling is aligned. So we gave them we basically told them, here's what you need to do. You need to know the truth. These are the requirements. Before you leave this place, you need to have a basic understanding of the truth, meaning a biblical worldview.
Yep.
You need to have good character.
Yep.
Meaning you have to treat each other well, you have to learn how to treat other people well and have a good work ethic, and you have to be able to be economically productive, not dependent on other people. So be hardworking and have the right job skills. And they've done that. So that, you know, thanks be to God, you know, that's worked with the kids. Now, most of them have stayed with the family business, and that's helped. And I think one of the things about a family business is that there's an expectation of inheritance. And so part of their payment has been equity. So they're like, they're bought into us financially and culturally and spiritually all at the same time. We're passing it all on together.
Yeah.
And I know that's not an option for everybody. A lot of people don't own businesses or family businesses. They have a job. There are other ways to do it. But that's how we've done it.
Yeah, that's great. What good counsel, Jerry. Well, I appreciate you taking that sidebar today. That was wonderful. All right, let's talk markets. And, you know, we can see God's handiwork there as well, all over it. So what are you seeing?
Yeah, well, what I'm seeing is, you know, the Fed earlier this week basically indicated, you know, you're all expecting rate cuts because the markets had been expecting rate cuts. You know, don't get too excited about rate cuts because the GDP number was higher than was expected. So you know, that drove markets down, right?
Yes.
The economy's good, so markets have to go down because of that weird thing that we've talked about so many times before. If the economy's good, then the Fed, you know, won't pump money in to heal it. The Fed will continue to stay tight. Then we had today, you know, just a few minutes ago, a new jobs report that's strong. And again, if jobs report is strong, well, that might be inflationary, right? Because if you have low unemployment and you have a lot of jobs being created, that means that we have bargaining power with our employers. Therefore, we might push for higher wages, which, you know, they think drives inflation, but it doesn't. Higher wages are a good thing, not a bad thing. And so in response to the jobs report, the Dow went down and the bond market acted as though, you know, they're not going to cut. They're going to maybe hike. They're going to have to fight inflation. So we have that upside down world that we've been talking about still continuing. Gold's down a little bit. So when we have each one of these twists, we can get caught up on the twist of the week. What I want people to do is zoom out and say, oh, last week, everybody believed the Fed was going to cut and markets acted accordingly. This week, nobody believes the Fed is going to cut and the market is acting accordingly. That instability with the central bank basically as sort of the master of the markets, changing its mind back and forth, that's the great fact of financial markets right now. Not what happens in any given week, but the fact that in any given week, the expectations shift back and forth between the Fed will cut to the Fed will hike, and that driving markets creates a certain instability. Now, we've liked it because markets are up because basically, you know, this year the consensus had moved towards the Fed's going to be easy. They're going to be pumping money into the system. But that just switched now. So that's going to be a headwind for markets because if the driver of markets is the central bank, which is the biggest investor in the world now, not us. No private entity is the biggest investor in the world now. Our own central bank is. What it does is what determines the direction of markets.
Yeah, no question. That was well said. Hey, before we wrap up today, let's change gears just for a moment. You're going to be with me and 2,200 of our friends at the Kingdom Advisors Conference here in 10 days.
2,250.
2,250. You're exactly right. And you and David Bonson are going to be doing a session on why we need free markets and why free markets need virtue. Why do the markets need virtue, Jerry?
Because if you have to constantly be in mistrust with one another, the compliance cost of mistrust, of verification of everything. If you live in a world where their base rate expectation is that everybody's cheating and stealing and committing fraud, then you have to do so much to fight the drag of that, that that becomes the biggest cost to your business. Markets need a certain base expectation. Yes, people will cheat. But if everything has to be an extremely detailed contract, for example, and every deal you go into, you go into with a reasonable expectation the other guy is going to try to cheat you, that really causes markets to break down. That's one of the reasons they need it. But there's another one, and this is something we want to talk about as well, which is one of the great virtues, and it's sort of been lost in modern Christian teaching, is a work ethic. It's there all over the book of Proverbs, for example, that we're not supposed to be lazy. Sloth is a sin. Laziness is a sin. Well, hard work is a virtue. And at some point, the Christian church, the evangelical church, got to understand that, hey, we need to be virtuous in our sex life, in our family life, and that's all good. We shouldn't poison our body with drugs. We shouldn't look at pornography. We should be sexually faithful. Those are virtues. But somehow we lost the virtue of a work ethic, which is historically established with associated with evangelical Christianity. You would not have the modern economy if you didn't have, say, the Wesleyan revivals and some of the Protestant Reformation revivals, which basically said not just rest on the seventh day, but work on the sixth. And laziness is, in fact, a sin. In my life, I've never heard a sermon against laziness. Well, maybe that's one of the reasons we have a worker shortage, because we have a work ethic shortage, and that is a spiritual problem that causes an economic problem, not an economic problem on its own.
Well said, Jerry. Wow, I can't wait for that session. All right, my friend, I'm out of time. Have a great weekend. Thanks for being here.
God bless you. God bless Maria, too.
That's exactly right. Have a wonderful weekend. Folks, that's going to do it for us today. Thanks for my team, Pat, Devin, and Jim. Couldn't do it without them. Thanks to the amazing Jerry Boyer as well. Have a great weekend. We'll see you on Monday. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.